tuned to Mix 93.8 FM. I'm your host, Brian Hutting. The program Risky Business and Risky Business Youth Ignited. In the studio with me right now is still Sarah Taylor. Nothing changed there. My co-host, and he's about to take over the primary conversation, and Nicola Brown, Communications and Stakeholder Relationship Manager for Adopt a School. And just wondering, though, I mean, does that stuff also work for, is it as an antiperspirant, that rising damp thing, or not?
Oh, the advert, no, I'm with you, sorry, I'm not feeling on my A-game.
Yeah, man, I've got alcohol in my ceiling, and I don't go.
We were on a completely different
page. Oh, yes, the things that occupy my mind. What can I say? Sarah, over to you.
So we have an incredible guest. So we are in our Youth Ignited segment for this evening. And we have Nicola Brown, the Communications and Stakeholder Relationship Manager for, it's so formal, for Adopt a School. Welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Have you been on radio before?
All right, you two, get up closer to the mic.
Okay, here we go.
Like things you got to talk into you when you're on radio.
Yes, I might need a little bit of coaching.
There we go.
Have you been on radio many a time?
No, not like Mix FM, like very small community radio stations.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the motherload of community stations.
It's the best radio.
We love ourselves.
So, Adopt a School. I'm so excited to talk about this because the way I'm, just for the listeners, I stumbled upon Adopt a School on SA or goodnewssa.com, which is a fantastic site.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And so just tell us more about Adopt a School.
Great. So, I mean, we are working in some of the country's really most rural, marginalized schools throughout South Africa. And we also work in 4 schools in Lesotho. Mm-hmm. And what we do.
Sorry. Brian's doing some
coaching. Thank you. Jeez, this close.
All good. We've got this.
Okay, let me just get comfortable again. So we've been working for about 15 years, and primarily we work with the private sector in terms of private companies in South Africa through their CSI, and invest in making schools that more conducive to teaching and learning, and again in some of the most marginalized and rural schools. And we do that through we started up or an infrastructure NGO building, working with school communities, providing skills to the parents of learners, and building classrooms and science laboratories and renovating schools. We then started adding the curriculum side to that, and then later on the leadership development, and now we implement a full holistic model, which we call whole school development. And there we look at everything from the curriculum to the extracurriculum to the infrastructure, leadership, and looking a lot at the social welfare issues, child protection issues, issues of teenage pregnancy, issues of learner health and well-being. We do that by partnering with lots of other NGOs. We're an organization that collaborates and coordinates. That's in a nutshell.
That's fantastic. And you've mentioned just, plethora of incredible topics to address. And I think, what are your sort of opinions on what are the barriers in education at the moment for learners, across all boards, whether it's marginalized schools or whatever it may be? What are your views on that?
Sure. So, look, there's such a multitude of issues that are involved at play in education and at school. And, the Department of Education is doing wonderful things in terms of addressing the infrastructure backlog. But there's a huge backlog left by, I suppose, Bantu education. Mm-hmm. And it's the cycle of poverty that we find our learners are trapped in. So, we already find at grade R we're playing huge catch up. At something like 4 million learners that are of the 4 million learners that are sort of between the ages of 0 and 4, something like 65% of those learners don't have any form of early childhood development. So the second you get into grade R, you're already playing catch up. Never mind the interventions that are happening at matric level to try and up matric results. I mean, then you really are just placing a very temporary plaster on the problem. So that I think is one of the big issues. The other issue, yes, is the infrastructure backlog, and we do a lot of work to renovate, ensure that there's a decent number of children per classroom, reduce overcrowding rates, ensure that schools have proper functioning of pollution facilities, access to water. It's amazing what the difference like an access to water solution can provide for a school. Mm. We had a school that we were working in, we started working in about 3 years ago in the Northern Cape, and they had huge issues with water, leaking, ablutions, and every time that happened, they would have to send kids home and cancel the school day. And just by providing them with water, access to water, we did a couple of academic interventions. We did a leadership training, but their matric results between 2014 and 2016 jump by 20%.
Oh, my word.
Something from your 60% into your 80%. And I think what's important for us as well is that we're noticing not just an increase in pass rates, but an increase in the quality. So whereas 10 years ago or 5 years ago, many of our matric learners from our adopted schools wouldn't even have qualified for university, we're seeing a huge number of learners qualify. So when we say pass rates, we're not patting ourselves on the back for a 30% pass rate. We're really talking about those learners that do have the potential to obtain bursaries to further their studies.
That's incredible. And I think it's so important you mentioning this holistic approach to education, which I really believe is, not that there's ever a solid answer to an issue as complicated and multifaceted as education is, but I really believe a holistic approach is what is necessary. And you're mentioning leadership training within schools. What does that entail?
So leadership training, what we do is we take, essentially, and this is almost our flagship entry-level project. So we would rather say to a funder or anyone investing in education that let's not invest in infrastructure or anything like that until we make sure we've got a strong leadership body. So we'll take the school governing body, the management team, and representatives from the Department of Education out of their school environment. We'll take them away for a couple of days, and we facilitate quite a in-depth, detailed, sometimes quite hard, difficult strategic planning session where we talk about the realities, we talk about the issues. It's created as a safe space, so often a lot of very difficult issues come out, and you'll often find that some people won't be able to sort of contribute in that space and will leave. But you'll also find issues where we've seen where the principal, looking at a timeline of their results, will say, well, that's when the results started dropping, and that's when I joined the organization.
Yeah.
And they would start that sort of reflective process. So that happens over the course of a few days. And then following that is the development of, okay, so what do we have within the school? What can we do ourselves? And let's form committees. Let's set up a strategic plan for the school. What is our school's vision? What is our school's mission? Often just the basic fundamentals of running a business are lost in schools because of the amount of work, I think, and the conditions in which they work. And that, for us, has been key. The second, we have a committed leader or committed leadership and a united vision. And a lot of it, I think, from what I feel, is renewing that passion for teaching. Because, you know, we all hear that, you know, teaching is a calling, but often it's just become a job.
Yeah.
And I think we don't give our teachers the credit they deserve. I think a large portion of our teachers are passionate about what they do, or they were once. And the conditions in which they work are so very challenging. So what we really try to do is reignite that, but do that through a practical strategic plan. And that achieves incredible results. So you'll find suddenly in a school we worked in KZN that was really struggling, and it's just one example, but the teachers formed groups, and they would be, the maths and science teachers would be coming in at 6 and leaving at 5 and taking turns to make sure that kids could come in for those extra lessons every day. In the schools that we operate in, suddenly schools run Monday to Sunday, and that's it. Extra lessons all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And that's the teachers giving of their own time. You found teachers or groups of learners forming social groups where they would raise money for the orphan children in that school to provide school uniforms or whatever the case is. So that's the really exciting stuff where you see the school, we almost empower and enable them and give them some tools, and then suddenly, you know, they run, and that's fantastic.
Oh, that's phenomenal. And which areas are you predominantly working within?
So Adopter School is donor-driven, funder-driven. So while we fundraise for a lot of our overhead costs and our operational costs, so that donor funding can go directly into the schools, and we also fundraise to try get out into the most rural areas as possible. We are directed by where our corporates are. We have a large footprint in Gauteng, but in some of the more rural areas in Gauteng. Our probably next biggest footprint is in KZN. And we also have quite a big footprint in the northwest, but we are present in every single province. And our actual largest footprint is in partnership with Kagiso Shanduka Trust. And that's a sort of a different project that Adopt a School implements for the trust. And that's in 200 schools in two districts in the Free State province. So that's a different model that we've developed since 2013, working with the Kagiso Trust and what was the Shanduka Foundation, now the Cyril Ramaphosa Foundation. And this was really a model to build a model at district level in partnership, in direct partnership with the Department of Education, that we could ultimately replicate. So that's district level, 200 schools in a 400 schools in a concentrated place. We've currently phased in 200 of those schools. So that's another very exciting sort of development project of where we see our whole school development model going and having a bigger impact.
Oh, that's incredible. You're reaching amazing places and just doing phenomenal work. It's incredible.
Yeah, we have an incredible team.
I'm super impressed. Well done. Awesome.
Thank you.